say that.
With every breath in my lungs, I'm stopping time for nothing, no. However long it takes, I go to whatever lengths. It's gonna make me a monster, though.
What it is, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. And joining me on this, our 50th episode, is my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDuff! Oh my goodness, my voice is so croaky this morning. My good gosh. I'm here, and I'm not queer, and I'm ready to record our 50th episode!
A big slog getting to 50, here we are. It's nearly a year, 2 weeks off.
2 weeks off, a full year doing this shit. Can't wait for that milestone to be hit.
Why the sarcasm? Where's the enthusiasm?
A whole year of my life, we've done this every week. Oh, it's so much. But I love it. And we'll do it again and again. Again and again and again and again and again.
We watch the movies, so you don't have to.
Oh,
but generally, but we watch them together.
But so. You do have to listen to the hour long podcast, so it's almost as long as the films. So really, what choice are you really making? You know.
Well, here on number 50, we're reviewing the new Jake Gyllenhaal boxing film, Southpaw.
Southpaw.
Which I just realized is from the same director as The Equalizer, which was one of our very first episodes.
Fuck that fucking movie.
Well, we could talk about Southpaw in a little bit, but I've actually been going to the movies a lot in probably the last 48 hours, which
really
is weird.
Nice.
I don't know how, because I've had no time, but obviously I have, because I was able to go to the movies 3 times, but I went and saw...
I've got no time! He says this is on his 4th run through of Southpaw.
Yeah. No, I caught on Friday morning. I went and saw the new Hitman film.
Oh yeah, how's that?
Hitman Agent 47. I don't know. I don't really remember much of the original Hitman adaption. I don't remember being too big a fan of it. Timothy Oliphant should have been really cool. Have you seen it?
No.
The original one?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind the games. The games are kind of fun. I'm not really a diehard fan of them, but
yeah.
From what I got from the story of the games, I feel like they've gone in a completely different direction in this movie.
Well, he's a contract killer.
They kind of take a note out of Dredd's book. Which, you know, the title character is Dredd or Hitman, but it's the movie's actually about like a young protege sort of comes in. By the way, I don't know if you saw any of the trailers to this film, but it's another fucking instance of just shit getting spoiled in the trailers, and so I don't feel bad about spoiling it here. To start off with, the hitman is like the bad guy. He's kind of like very Terminator-esque, like chasing down this main chick, Katia, and she's got like this weird, you know, spider sense thing going on where she can sort of tell when things are about to go sour or somebody's chasing her or somebody's getting killed or whatever. Then it turns out that he is actually hunting her down to help her, sort of thing.
So Terminator 2.
Yeah, pretty much.
And get down.
Yeah. just not nearly as cool. They've tried to play on that template and it just doesn't work. I don't know. And some of the CGI in it is just like Sharknado quality. It's fucking pretty horrible. Like the action sequences are decent enough, which you would expect from a movie like this, but overall, I didn't really get into it. I found it kind of boring, and just another fucking generic action film. Our mate Mitch, who was on the podcast a few weeks ago, he actually loved it. So I guess it can go either way.
Yeah, he loved Fantastic Four though. So yeah.
I don't know. He didn't love Fantastic Four. I was the only one who loved Fantastic Four.
You're a fucking animal still. I just... oh, fucking movie, man. I can't even...
Well, love is a strong word. I shouldn't say that.
But, yeah, so it's hate.
So is, that's true. I also saw Vacation.
How is Ed Helms in that?
Really funny. He's Ed Helms. He's doing what Ed Helms does, being, you know, the awkward, geeky dude loser who, you know, has grown up into, he's basically Stu from The Hangover with a family, which I'm fine with because I find him hilarious in that role. And it really worked for this, you know, just like a family vacation premise, because he's trying to be the cool dad and he just wants everybody to have fun, but nobody's having a bar of it the whole way through, which is like every family vacation ever. But it's, look, this movie's getting fucking panned by critics and people are hating on it pretty bad, but I had a really good time with it. It's that kind of humor that I really dig, that, you know, dirty American humor, and they don't really hold back. Like there's like the younger kid is just like a real potty mouth and he's always fucking swearing and he bullies the older brother all the time. And it's fucking hilarious. Like there's this bit where, you know, they're driving along in a car and a Jeep pulls up next to them and it's got, you know, like a good looking teenage girl. And the older boy sort of, you know, has a moment with her. And then all of a sudden, a plastic bag goes over his head. And the little kid behind him's like, go to sleep.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. I went and saw it again. This was Saturday night we saw it. And it, you know, packed cinema.
Yeah.
Full of people just laughing, full of people who aren't, you know, judging on it. Like, I could certainly, you know, if we were to review that film, I could certainly see a lot of things to pick on.
Yeah.
But...
Look, I still stand by the notion that a comedy, first and foremost, needs to be fucking funny. Like, you know, like, we review comedy films and a lot of the time when we review them, we're like, the story's fucked and this is fucked. The whole reason that comes up is because it's not funny. So as long as the film's pretty damn funny, you have a good time.
Yeah. Or I found, like, you know, when we review films, like comedies like, you know, Horrible Bosses 2 or something like that, where we kind of come in a middle ground a lot of the time, because it's hard. Because I just, like, you know, this is, I said this last week on the podcast, like with Vacation, I really just wanted to go watch it. I didn't want to have to review it. I didn't want to have to pick it apart, because, and I'm glad I didn't, because I probably would have felt a lot different about it. But I was able to sit there and just laugh. You know, in Horrible Bosses 2, there was many a good fucking joke in that, but we had to sit there and actually pick it apart in a story-wise and, you know, structure-wise and all that, and we were able to bring it back down to a, you know, like, I don't even really want to put a number on Vacation, because I just remember it as a good time. Like, I'll buy it when it comes out, because I'll watch it again. And it'll be in the same sort of situation. I'll have some friends around, and we'll just fucking, you know, be having dinner or having some drinks, and you just put on Vacation and watch a little kid suffocate his older brother.
Yeah, I'm glad it was good. Like, I'm glad you enjoyed it, to be honest. I want to make comedy films. Like, I do it on the internet. I've realized now that I need people around me who are going to make fucking good movies, good comedy films, so the genre doesn't die a horrible death before I manage to get anywhere where I potentially can make a comedy film. So please, directors, keep making good comedy films so Connor can eventually make his own. Don't fuck this up for me, you fucking bastards. Make stuff. Make good stuff. I'm looking at the comedy films we've reviewed, and I can't really find too many.
Yeah, we tried to nip that in the bud pretty quick. The ones that stand out were Horrible Bosses. Dumb and Dumber 2 was quite a good one.
Dumb and Dumber 2.
Which everybody seems to hate on, by the way. We both kind of agreed that we enjoyed that film. And it seems...
Yeah, I had a good time.
It seems to be getting fucking royally fucked.
But comedy comes... I think comedy comes from experience, you know? Laughing's contagious. You're in a room full of people. Never know you're laughing, you're going to have a good time.
Well, that's like, true. And that's why I'll always prefer. I prefer to watch horror and comedy with a full crowd if I can, because it's a group experience most of the time.
I prefer to just watch movies with Mel, mainly because we just talk furious amounts of shit, I've realized, after watching Southpaw. Like, it doesn't matter what the movie is. If Mel and I are in a room, it's just ragging on everything. It's fucking glorious. Except Mad Max. We shut up in Mad Max. That was good. We didn't talk Mad Max. Or Foxcatcher. We didn't talk in that either, I remember.
So you're those guys. Talk.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, pretty much. But we shut up. You know what I'm like? You've seen movies with me. I'm quiet. I just make sounds. I sigh loudly, but like smack my face when something's ridiculous. But yeah.
You and Mel went to see Southpaw. I saw Southpaw. Let's talk about Southpaw. Actually, I had a fun little story about Southpaw, because I went to so many friggin' movies over the weekend. At the Hoyts here in Melbourne, I've got the loyalty card or whatever. And after seeing Hitman, when buying my ticket for Hitman, the chick at the counter is like, "Oh, by the way, you've got a free Lux ticket, which is the gold class cinema."
Oh, no,
Hoyts.
Nice.
I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, all right, sweet." And she's like, and I'm thinking, "Oh, I can try and, you know, organize some sort of nice date night for me and Beck." And then she's like, "Oh, but by the way, you have to use it by the end of the weekend." I was like, "What?" So I got like 2 days to use a fucking gold class ticket. But anyway, you know, I had to see Southpaw. So I was like, "Well, fuck it. I'll come in tomorrow and I'll see Southpaw during the day in the fucking luxury cinema," which is pretty much not that different to any other gold class cinema ever.
It's the same as the one in Southport, the same as the Stray Fair.
It's pretty much the same sort of setup. That, you know, they've got the recliner chairs and stuff. The difference is, though, with Hoyts, they have a call button, so you can actually call somebody during the movie and order something.
Oh, waiter!
Which I think's not a bad idea. But luckily, you know, there was nobody in there. I went to like an 11 o'clock session on a Saturday, so it was like me and two other people, but it I could imagine if people were calling people to get drinks all the time, that would get fucking annoying watching a movie.
Feed grapes into my mouth, waiter.
I did splurge and buy one of those crazy Maltesers Sunday things that you can get at the, you know, the our gold class in Southport. But they're made for two people. And I tried to take that on by myself.
Oh, God.
Needless to say, I did not feel too well after walking out of Southpaw. I've been looking up some stuff on Southpaw as well. Apparently, the lead role was originally booked for Eminem.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So the writer had been working along with Eminem. It was supposed to be kind of a, Not a direct sequel, but almost like a spiritual sequel to 8 Mile, because it was supposed to be like this parallel, like the boxing metaphor was supposed to be a parallel to, you know, Eminem's rapping career and his hardships, like, you know, being at the top and then apparently dropping. I don't remember Eminem ever dropping. I've felt like he's been at the top of his game for most of his career.
Eminem was meant to be in this fucking movie.
Yeah, he was supposed
to. How is the original role for a fucking film like this Eminem?
Well, have you seen 8 Mile?
No.
Well, it's pretty much the same movie as 8 Mile, just with a boxer.
Okay.
So, like, I could definitely see it. He eventually opted out because he wanted to focus on, you know, all his music. And I guess that's why he's, like, heavily all over the soundtrack. So, I guess that's
Fucking hell.
Phenomenal. Yeah, but now we've got
Phenomenal.
Yeah, Phenomenal.
Fuck off. Fucking hell. Sorry.
What? Not a fan of the Eminem beats?
That fucking song. It's just like soft, beautiful piano for this fucking Oscar bait drama pick, and then Phenomenal! Like, I'm like, of course, 50 Cent is the manager of this movie. Of course there's got to be this sort of fucking music somewhere. It's just so out of place. Oh,
what? God. Really? I thought the soundtrack was fucking awesome.
Phenomenal! I was just like, what the fuck? And then I started saying it in the cinema.
Oh, there's all, like, throughout the whole movie, there's heaps of gangster shit going on. All sorts of gangster beats.
Speaking of fucking, sorry, I'm on IMDb. I'm just on, like, I do this every time I sit on Southpaw stuff in case I see some cool information. I've got, it says user list. So these are related lists from IMDb users. 30 of the hottest actors in Hollywood. Best and hottest actors, bracket, at the moment, close bracket, the best 20 actors. One's made a list of 49 people just called actors. This is my favorite. My celeb crushes, love heart, / actors I admire. This is a fucking IMDb. Like, this is... What the fuck?
Hot
actors I admire.
Yeah.
That's the whole fucking thing.
I was going to say, because Jake Gyllenhaal, like, he's a good-looking cat, but fuck, he wasn't in this movie. Fuck, he looked all kinds of fucked up in this film.
Jesus Christ.
He's got, like, a swollen face for most of it. Anyway, do you want to do the honours of a quick little summary for us?
Yeah, so it follows kind of the rise and fall of our hero, Billy Hope. He's a super aggressive, super angry boxer who is at the top of his game. He's the world champion, and everything's going good until his wife gets shot and he struggles to overcome that, and he loses his daughter to child services because of it, and so he tries to come clean and builds himself back up. He gets suspended from boxing, he builds himself back up and trains and works hard and stays sober and stays clean to become once again the world's best boxer.
Nice. That's it in a nutshell.
As you could say, he's phenomenal. You gotta have to fucking use that song now. I said it so much that you have to use it to
God damn it. I had another song. I liked the song that opened the movie. I'm a motherfucking beast.
That was a good song. But you have to use the other one now because no one's gonna understand the reference.
You're killing it over there. Damn it. This is like the first time ever I've thought ahead for a song as well, and you go and fuck it for me.
Legitimately have ruined this.
But we're talking about the music, so did you had a problem with that music, did you?
Just that song. It was fucking terrible. It was fucking awful.
I think it's a great song.
I liked the soundtrack. In fact, the sound design of this film was fucking brilliant, yeah. But... I didn't like that song at all. That song was trash.
Wow. So the other one was really cool. We got it while he's doing his little montage as he's coming back, dipping under the rope. I thought it was fun. I quite enjoyed it. That was the one thing I came out of this movie was like, man, I need that soundtrack. So I went and bought it.
No wonder you're so concerned.
Yeah, I'm just bored. Like, because that was like one of my highest praises for this film was its fantastic fucking soundtrack.
Yeah, then you
straight
enough,
up shoot it down. Classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
That's me. Classic McDuff.
Well, where we start the film, he's, you know, he's just gearing up for another title defense, because when we start the story, he's already on the top of his game. He's come to the sea. He's like 40-0. He's a really aggressive fighter. He takes the punches, but then, you know, just eventually comes out in the last few rounds and just knocks a motherfucker out.
Fuck, that was a good fucking opening scene.
Yeah,
by the way,
really cool.
Oh, that was dope. I just like that shot of him screaming and he just gets punched in the face. That close up.
Oh, where it like cuts into the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, I love that. Yeah. I was like, oh, mint.
It's, yeah, and you know, the comparison to, you know, him, you know, sort of firing up for the fight beforehand. He's just sitting there chilling, listening to his earphones while yeah, all the bustling's going on around him. He's like super focused, and then, you know, we get the moment with his wife, Rachel McAdams, to you know, she's kind of his chi, really, isn't she? She's like,
yeah,
his reason for what he is and how successful he is.
That's an issue I want to bring up, is that I feel like that whole thing was a little bit forced, to be honest.
I can definitely see where you would think that. but go on.
There's an aspect of it that I just like. In fact, I mate Rachel McAdams. Their relationship was one of the most believable parts in the movie, but it still felt at times a little bit forced. I felt like she while I believe that they loved each other, her whole motivation was just a little funny to me. I don't know. It just seemed a little off at some point.
Did you feel like did you feel confused in that she was kind of riding the coattail a little bit, but they never really pushed that?
She was like an enabler. She enabled him to kind of keep fighting. I just felt like there's that one bit where he's getting the shit kicked out of him at the start, and he looks over and she's like, "Hey, like, what are you doing?" Like, she says that, and I'm just like, "What the fuck? Like, what are you talking about? Like, why would you say that? I don't understand." It just felt weird. It felt a bit forced, and then there was the whole like, "Baby, stop that, and I don't like your face." And he's like, "Dickhead, like, the reason I'm fighting is because we have all this shit." And then she's like, "Oh yeah, I know, but just we can stop for a bit." And then in the movie, he stops for a bit. He fucking loses all of his shit. So I guess he was right from the beginning, you know? Like,
oh, but there's a reason why he had to stop, because he fucking dropped his game. But I get what you're saying. I felt the him looking across and looking at her like he's her, or she's his strength. You know, she's the one that, you know, he was obviously losing this fight. To look at her gives him, you know, the tip over the edge. Which I felt that and I got that. I definitely believed that they were 100% in love. Like, there was no doubt about it. Like, he really had nothing without her.
She was so attractive.
Oh yeah, Rachel Adams. She's I wouldn't say a problem, but the only thing that I got a little confused with was, like, she didn't really do too much. She was basically his manager, if you will. Like, all the decisions go through her, even with the, you know, to sign contracts and with the family. Like, they were, like, you know, when she's eventually gone, they talk about, you know, how mum always made the decisions, and like he's never really made a decision in his life except to beat the fuck out of somebody. So it's like,
pretty much.
But they never like push it, but in some ways I got a bit of like a gold digger vibe. But they never explore that or go into it. It's always just a positive thing. So that was the only real thing that I got sort of confused with. And where we're talking about it being forced, I feel like they forced it away from that. But I don't know. I like, you know, as pushed as it may have been, like, I definitely felt like they were a happy family. He loved his daughter. You know, the bit where they're getting ready before the charity event. You know, he's in the bathroom trying to write his speech, and his sort of daughter's helping him, and she's, you know, fluttering around, basically running the show. The mum is, and I don't know. Like I said, I can see where you would think it would be forced. But like, I was definitely able to go with it. And then when eventually, you know, she is taken out, I was like, oh fuck. Like, I really felt for him. When
I didn't expect that. When she got topped, I was like, ah, all right.
You didn't expect it?
No, because I didn't watch any trailers for it.
No, I didn't. I didn't either.
Speaking of which, I don't want to fucking watch trailers anymore. I want to see how long I can go without watching trailers.
Okay.
Because that's something I want to bring up, is like, in this movie, I'm almost certain that in Southpaw, I'm sure that would have been spoiled in the trailers, that moment. And when I'm watching it, I was just like this is going to be a story about a guy who slowly loses his wife because he wants to keep fighting. Yeah. And then she dies. And I'm like, oh, fuck. What a cool story beat that wasn't fucking ruined by a fucking movie trailer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I saw a trailer.
Fucking movie trailers.
Yeah, like, I was the same. Like, I don't know if I... Well, I definitely didn't see it coming, that's for sure. And that's why I think it was such a shock and such... And made me feel for the character. But like you said, if that was to be spoiled, I'd just be waiting for it to happen so the movie can start.
Yeah.
It's like waiting for John Connor to turn bad in fucking Terminator Genesis.
Ah! Oh god. You know, Terminator 2 was also ruined when that came out, just so you know, the trailer.
Oh, was it?
Trailer for that show. Yeah, trailer for that showed Arnie being a bad guy. Being a good guy, sorry, in the trailer. Okay. That's the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell.
Idiots.
But yeah, no, that felt forced. The other thing was, like, I want to bring up Jakey G. I'm going to try and chuck all my negativity with a bit of positivity. I'm trying to build myself to be a better human. So let's give this a go. But
it's a good idea.
Jake Gyllenhaal is the fucking man.
Yeah.
Like, Mel hated the shit out of him in this. I'm
know.
Not sure.
I was just talking to Mel. She sent me a message. I woke up to a message from her this morning saying that she hated this film and Jake, that she normally loved him. But yeah, please.
Jakey G in this was just, I understand why you would hate the character, because the character's a fucking douchebag. He's the sort of character, the sort of guy at high school, then primary school, that would bully the fuck out of you. But he's fucking acting. He's like, he fucking sold that, man. Like, I'm watching it and I had to keep reminding myself it was Jake Gyllenhaal, because I've never seen him play a role this crazy, especially when you compare it to Nightcrawler, who's super articulate.
Yeah.
His character in Nightcrawler was super articulate, super elegant, and had this finesse to him.
Yeah.
And then this one, he's this brute, like this big kind of oaf. And I'm like, man, you're pulling some Christian Bale shit, I see. Like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I know your game.
Well, Jake Gyllenhaal is one of those actors now that, you know, if he's in a film, I will see it. He's in that list with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hardy.
But he's not, the problem with Jakey G is he's not kind of making films that are just perfect yet. He made Source Code, which was a bit shit.
Yeah, but the thing with him is, like, you know, all these actors have done those films. Like, you know, Mad Max could have potentially been that film for Tom Hardy. You know, they do the big budget fucking Prince of Persia, make a bit of money, then go and do the art film or artish film like Prisoners or Nightcrawler, and you know. But the thing is, Jake Gyllenhaal. You know, we talk about it a lot with actors, like it's Ed Helms playing Ed Helms, or it's, you know, Tom Cruise playing Tom Cruise. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal is fucking Billy Hope in this movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He is the Nightcrawler dude. He's the fucking detective from Prisoners. Like, he can change, and he's able to fucking morph his body as well, like Christian Bale shit. And just totally become these characters, and that in itself is just fucking amazing to me. Like, he has such a baby face, and he's able to play such a hard character like this. Like, fucking tip of the hat.
It's very impressive, honestly. Like, Jakey G was without a doubt is stupidly good in this film.
Yeah.
Such a believable character. The way he loses his temper. Everything about him was so realistic, and I was like, yeah, that's a real person. That's a really flawed hero. I really like that aspect of it.
Mm.
And, you know, Forest Whitaker tried to do the same thing, and the only thing I think I hated about that sort of style that JG did was that everyone in this film, I think, immediately tried to go method, just like Jake did. Like, they all give off this vibe that they're trying really hard to portray and represent raw emotion that's within them, and they're all trying to become these characters. And to be honest, the only person I thought really pulled it off was Jake Gyllenhaal. Forest Whitaker. Fucking hell, I just did not believe it for a second, to be honest.
Oh, really?
I was just kind of laughing because he's doing the same thing, but he's got this mumble to him, and I couldn't fucking understand what he was saying half the time. So I'm just like, what are you fucking saying? I understand that you're trying to be real and raw, and I'm like, what? But I don't get you. What's the problem? And then there's that bit where he cried because one of his kids died. And I laughed. I laughed a lot because it was just fucking silly. it was just so silly. Him holding a punching bag and he's like, fucking idiot.
You are an evil. You're an evil person. I feel that. The kid getting killed wasn't really as impactful as it could have been. Like, that kid was around all the time, and then all of a sudden they're just talking about him being dead.
Hoppy's dead!
Yeah, it wasn't quite as strong as it was made out to be by Forest Whitaker. I didn't really have too much of a problem with Forrest. Like, I think it was just because he was like, you know, the redemption for Billy. So, and because I you know, this comes back to how good Gyllenhaal was. I just wanted him to get back on track. You know, I wanted him to get his daughter back. So the route was to, you know, clean toilets for this guy who owns a boxing gym. And I guess I just appreciated what that character was doing for Billy. So I didn't really judge too much on Forrest Whitaker's role because he was just playing what he does all the time. He was basically the same character he always is.
Yeah, I think my issue that comes from this unbelievability for things was, to be honest, probably my biggest issue with the whole thing, which was the script. The dialogue on this was so fucking on the nose. I thought I was watching a Christopher Nolan film. I'm not going to lie. It was just over the top.
Really?
This script has to be some of the shittiest fucking writing I've seen in a long time. Oh my fucking God.
And we just watched Fantastic Four.
Yeah, but like even then the characters were somewhat believable for at least three quarters of the film.
Wow.
This fucking script, man, was just horseshit. Like, it was just fucking terrible. I know what this film's trying to do. I know exactly what sort of film it's trying to be. It's trying to be that touching, oh, this is the best film I've seen so far this year, near Oscar bait, like, oh, Jake Gyllenhaal for the Oscar, bro. All this shit. You've got a fucking broken flawed hero. You've got a dead family member. You've got this raw bullshit method acting fucking, oh my God, we're real. Look what we're doing in our movie. And then you've got this fucking script that is so on the nose with all of it that I wanted to die. Do you know how many fucking times he talks about his daughter being taken away from him? He go, hey, I need a job. I need to train in the gym. No, you can't train in the gym. I don't train pro fighters. Ah, well, my daughter got taken away from me. All right, well, I guess you can train in the gym now. Like, fuck off! And he does it all the fucking time, the whole way through the movie. And then there's that whole fucking sub-story where the daughter wants to go to the fight. And it just, she keeps saying it the whole way. I need to go to the fight. I need to go to the fight. We fucking get it. We know you're going to go to the fight, dickhead. We know you're going to go to the fucking last fight. That's how movies work. You're a fucking idiot. The script was fucking terrible. Oh my God. Fuck this fucking script.
You're an idiot. I loved it. Loved it. Oh, I thought shit, everything, I thought it worked so very well. I know I can definitely flag everything that you're saying, but for me, it worked. Like, a guy's gonna, when his whole life is his fucking daughter, all he has left, all he's gonna talk about is his daughter. And all the daughter wants to do is be at the, she's always wanted to go to one of the fights, but it was always like the mum wouldn't let her go. So like the dad, so obviously Billy doesn't want to go against his mum's wishes, the mum's wishes. So it's like the repetitiveness of those two particular things, I really didn't have a problem with at all, because to me that's what the character was.
But everything's so forced. Everything is just forced down your throat the whole way through it. Like, every aspect of this film, all the beats were there, all these basic fucking drama pick beats were there, and they're just fucking, they just cram them down. They just get a fucking, they put them in your throat and they just punch them in, make sure they're right down there. Fucking hell. Every single fucking one. Oh my God. Oh.
See, again, like, I just don't think so at all. I didn't think anything in this movie was forced. I think the only thing that came close to being forced was the relationship at the start. Otherwise, I thought that it all flowed so well. I can't deny that it doesn't, you know, delve into fucking every boxing movie cliche that's there. But that's fine. Any fighting movie, but it's, you know, they have to go shit. They have to get beaten and have like the bad foe who comes in and it just disrespects them in a way, and then they do something stupid and they spiral out of control, and then it's all about them finding themselves and coming back and then winning the fight at the end, which is fucking Rocky 101, even though he doesn't win in Rocky, but, you know, wins personally. So either way, like, I think you know, but all those cliches are there, and so, and like, that's, I guess that's what I expected and kind of almost what I wanted. But I think that the way that this supposed shitty script that you're talking about, I think that it danced around it enough, and the characters were enough that I believed everything that was happening to the, especially Jake Gyllenhaal, because, you know, he, like we said, he's fucking brought it out and really, really killed this character, like made this character what it is. And for me to be able to believe him, and I just fell into his world and was able to just go along with everything that was going, even though, you know, I had my critic head is saying, yeah, there's cliches here, but it was able to, like, just sort of dance around them in a believable way to me. I don't know.
I understand what you mean, but this film tries so hard not to be a boxing movie for so long in it. Like, it's like trying to be so much fucking more. I could fucking feel its pretentiousness. I could feel its arrogance.
Oh,
it's
wow.
The exact same with Equalizer. I can fucking do it. Are you kidding me? Oh, it's a movie about boxing. Cool. Opening scene, fucking dope. Final scene, fucking cool. Look cool as shit. Sound design's great. Awesome. And then it's, oh, my wife's dead. Now 3/4 of the film's going to be me having a breakdown, and then the worst fucking montage I've ever seen. The worst fucking workout montage I've ever seen. Like, oh, it was so boring to watch.
Dipping under the rope, man. He's dipping that rope.
Oh, man. And then he meets this fucking dude, and it's just like, all right, I'm going to train you. And I was just like, this is...
I will tend to agree with you on the fact that they dance. It's not arrogant at all. It is not. But it does push away from the boxing style of things, which, you know, a lot, you know, I've come in to see boxing, which, you know, but I was able to get mixed up in the story in this film. So I didn't really have too much of a problem with there being this lack of boxing. But when we're talking about it, there's almost nothing. There's like you said, the start fight, there's like that montage that isn't really that good, you're right, and then the final fight.
And it's not even like it's, I don't give a fuck that there's not a lot of boxing. I don't really like sport movies, so I don't really give a shit. That's not the issue. The issue is it should have just been a fucking boxing movie, though. Like, the whole movie is just, I wouldn't give a fuck about any of the stuff I'm complaining about if it was just, fuck it, I've got the hiccups and I keep burping when I hiccup. It's just a fucking boxing movie about Jake G, who's a dickhead at the start, becomes a better person at the end. But then they do that and they mix in shitty fucking script and all this method acting bullshit that works for the one fucking really, really talented actor in this film. And I'm just like, wow, this is a fucking mess. Very much like The Equalizer. Didn't realize that the guy who made The Equalizer made this, but now I get it. I very much get it.
Well, I don't understand what you're saying, Connor. So, what, do you want more boxing in there?
No, it just needed to be one or the other. And because the script was so on the nose, it should have just been a boxing film. Because it didn't do drama well. It did not do drama well.
But boxing,
I did not
boxing
give a
films
fuck.
Basically are dramas.
But it wasn't a boxing film. That's the thing. You know it's not. It was barely anything. It had barely anything to do with it for so much of the film. It just needs to be one or the other.
What? Oh, I don't. You're not making any sense. It can't be one or the other because boxing movies come in with the drama. Like,
yeah, every film has fucking drama.
But But this movie is a boxing drama. Like, there's enough of the whole movie is structured around his boxing career, so it's still a boxing film. So I don't understand what you're saying is a boxing film.
Because the film. Oh my God, I hate this. It's too early. The film tries to be one thing, and it tries to be this arrogant fucking drama pick.
It's not arrogant.
Where it's about a dude. It's so, I swear to God, I'm going to slit some throats. It's so fucking arrogant.
The furthest thing from arrogant, but continue.
Are you joking? The whole fucking thing is arrogant. This soft bullshit piano that plays every time he talks about something sad. Are you kidding me? It's fucking pathetic. It's fucking pathetic. I was laughing. I was fucking laughing to myself every time.
Yeah, we definitely saw two different movies.
It's fucking, it's just so in the middle. It tries to be two different, very different films. One is this rise to action, fix myself to be a better person and then therefore become the better fighter. Be the better fighter to therefore become a better person. And then the other one is like this tragic, tragedy of like this story about a fucking guy who loses his wife and he has a temper and then the boxing helps him through it. But it's just so, they're just so very different in so many ways. It just pissed me off. I just wanted to go one way.
I feel like, why can't it be both? Which it is.
Because it's fucking terrible. That's why it can't be both.
Well, it's not.
The script is bullshit.
It's not at all. But I, look, I will say that some of the boxing, like, you know, when he starts talking about gearing up for that final fight, when 50 Cent comes in and is like, hey, man, 6 weeks, we're going to have this fight with the guy who killed your wife. Like, fuck. It's that sort of felt a little out of nowhere in the terms of, like, because, you know, I liked his rise from, you know, he's hit rock bottom, he's gone to this shitty gym, he's cleaning toilets, and he's working his way back up. He has a fight for like a charity sort of thing, and, you know, has a good fight and comes back, and then it's like, I feel like it was just, he was fast tracked, like that part of it was just fast tracked a little too quickly. Like, that was definitely forced in terms of like, well, now you've done one fight and let's go. Like, I would have liked to even seen maybe a montage of him going through a few charity fights and getting his name back out there, becoming, you know, the better man, as we're saying. But 50 Cent coming in and just being like, oh, hey, man, like, I don't know, that, yeah, that to me was a little
50 Cent was, I didn't even notice that. Like, that was not something I gave a shit about. A 50 Cent's character, though, was really weird. Like, I don't understand.
What is the deal with 50 Cent? Why is he such a rap god? I think he's one of the worst rappers out there. He mumbles.
And I just put, like, even in this film, he's just like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what is your, what, where do you stand?
He obviously,
these characters,
he
just kind of,
or something like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's an enabler the whole way through the movie. He just kind of like prods and picks and prods, and then nothing really happens to him. Like, that's the sort of character that should get punched in the fucking head. Like, he's awful.
Well,
the wife is,
and they don't
dead.
They don't really explore that. Like, I was confused as to what his relationship with fucking Billy Hope was, because at the start, you know, when he's all like, you know, we're going to get you back on your feet after his wife dies and all that sort of, I'm thinking, oh, this guy's like a really good mate. And then he's in the fucking crowd with the, you know, the guy who was the, you know, the reason basically that his fucking wife died. And I was like, what, who is this guy? And but they don't really push that he's a sellout or anything like that. They just kind of, when Billy goes in there one time after, you know, basically having a shit fight, and goes into 50 Cent's office, and 50 Cent's like, oh yeah, now I'm promoting the guy who killed your wife, by the way. So,
yeah.
And it's not, but it's kind of like, oh shit, you know, like, fuck it, now it's going to go down. And then it's just kind of like, nah.
Wait, who killed the wife? Was it him or was it his mate?
Nah, it was one of, I don't know. I wasn't sure actually who shot him. I felt like, because was it,
pretty sure it was Miguel's, like, homeboy or some shit.
I was confused. I thought that it was one of fucking Billy Hope's crew got, like, just pulled a gun out trying to be a gangster, and then a gunshot went off.
No,
but then they show there's, like, yeah, is that guy with the ponytail?
Yeah, it was, like, one of the bad guys, like, crew, I'm pretty sure. And the other guy, like, pulls his piece out for no reason. There was, like, I was watching it, and, like, why the fuck did, like, Gyllenhaal's mate pull a gun out at any point?
Yeah, just,
it was just a brawl.
Just trying,
like,
to be a
sense.
Fucking cool kid. And then, yeah, because there was a point where there was, like, one little shot where, like, I think Miguel either gives the gun to the guy with the ponytail or the other way around. They sort of hide it. Was there, like,
yeah,
there was something there, wasn't there?
Yeah, Miguel takes the gun. He's like, get out of here. Yeah. Why the champion fighter would take the gun off off his crew makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's this is one thing. This is one thing that I think they failed in this film is that, like, that's a big deal. Like, I hated that guy. He was such a punk. Like, he kept coming up. Like, if he just had left Billy alone, none of this shit would have happened. But he had to fucking prod. He had to push him, and he just being a fucking piece of shit. And, you know, eventually Billy's fucking wife gets killed. And then, you know, it could have gone either way. It could have been like Miguel is just a real cunt about it. and is all like, yeah, man, I killed your bitch, fucking what? Or he could have been like, fuck, what have I done, sort of thing. And they kind of don't really explore either avenue. They give us a touch of it at the end, like in the fight where he says something like, your wife can't help you now or something in that final fight. But that's
which is just so out of place.
It is, man. It's really, there's really nothing. It doesn't build like, because like, I hate that guy. I want that guy fucked up. Like, yes, all I want is for Billy Hope to get into a ring with this dude and just fucking destroy him in some way, whether it be in a professional way or just go fucking ham and annihilate this guy.
Yeah, kick the shit out of him.
Yeah, like, the way I thought the film was going to go was that he you know, we all knew he was going to get this fight eventually. But I thought that he might want to go in with thoughts of, I'm going to kill this guy. But then Forrest Whitaker would bring him back into, beat him like a professional, beat him at the game and humiliate.
He kind of just like, he does it the whole time. He kind of just does that whole defensive shit. There's no real downfall in that fight. Like, you knew Jake G from the beginning was going to win because of how he was fighting. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Like, it kind of could have gone either way. And when the split decision sort of comes, I actually thought that Miguel would win, but they would pull the Rocky where it's like, nah, I'm the...
Yeah.
But where, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal's like, nah, but I, you know, now I've overcome my demons or something like that. But they never play with the demons. Like, this guy is like his nemesis and they don't explore that.
Yeah, they don't at all. He just kind of there prods a little bit and then runs away.
Like, that fight, that final fight is pretty unsatisfying in the end.
And that's because, it's all because Billy Hope's biggest antagonist is Billy Hope himself.
Is himself.
Which, fuck off!
It's, but they never even really push that either. Like, there's nothing to sort of, like, the whole thing, it's him fighting him, his, you know, drug abuse and fucking, you know, the spiraling out of his wife. And I could totally believe all of that. Like, I felt that because, like, that, I felt for him so bad when he lost his wife that I totally am able to go with where he goes, the journey that he goes on this film, I'm 100% with. But I still think that if we're going to have this fucking, you know, showdown at the end, let's have a fucking showdown, or at least have this guy have been through this journey. Like, every time that fucking Jake has a shit thing happen, he looks up at the TV and fucking Miguel's just won another fight with his belt. The guy who was the reason why his wife's dead, you know what I mean? Like, they never really push that. Like, why even have this happen? Why even have this guy in there if you're not going to explore it?
Yeah. Didn't they say at one point that he paid off a judge? Didn't they say Jake G's team paid off a judge to beat someone or some shit?
Yeah, I think, yeah. That was 50 Cent. 50 Cent paid off somebody, and because it was the only, that's why he goes to Forrest Whitaker, because that guy that Jake should have lost to is the only guy that could have beat him, sort of thing. And so he wanted to learn how that guy could fight so he could be the better boxer. And going back to the boxing movie, like, we never really see what his weakness as a boxer is. Like, yeah, we know that he doesn't defend. He's just like...
But it works in his favor every single fucking time.
Yeah, that's it. So it's like, well, you know, he was 40-0. Why does he need to change the way that he boxes? Like, he's doing something right. But, like, I get it. Like, yeah, he needs to become a better boxer and a better person and, like, you know, be able to just, you know, better himself. But they never really tell us what his weakness is, really, except they sort of just... Like you said, every time the thing that he's doing seems to be working, let's make it not work. Let's make it that he just gets fucked up in like a charity auction. Like, he goes in and try box like he normally would and gets fucked up.
And someone does, like, he gets fucked up that one time where they try and do that. He gets fucked up, but he gets fucked up because he doesn't give a shit. Like, he's not boxing.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just him getting shit kicked out of him. Like, he's
punishing himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they definitely need to be a little bit more there to be bringing in the you know, move your head aesthetic, which, you know, comes into play a little bit in the final fight, but it's not really like the way that that final fight's structured, they don't push that, you know, he's using these new techniques as much as I think they should be. Nothing's really highlighted. Even like that final uppercut punch that he does to knock Miguel the fuck out was fucking really cool, but there's no, like, I would have liked to have seen him do like a sweet dodge, you know, bring in that new skill that he's just learned, and like all in slow-mo fucking as a boxing movie should, and just move and then just get this sweet fucking uppercut under the, you know, under a failed punch from Miguel.
It seemed like it was like totally, it's like directly just taken out of Snatch, by the way. I just want to bring that in. Like that whole him getting punched into the air, the way he, you know, he lifts up.
Yeah.
Like that was Snatch. And Snatch did it better because Brad Pitt falls in fucking water because it's symbolic as shit. No, but yeah, I just watched it. I'm like, that's Snatch. Like that's exactly what happens in Snatch.
Yeah.
That exact thing. I was like, what the fuck? Come on. Do something different. Fuck.
But that final punch, like, you know, why was Miguel's hands down? Like, I don't know. Like, there's no, like, the shot before it, they're both squaring up. And then all of a sudden he's able to, you know, break through. It's like...
nail him with the craziest uppercut ever.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was all a bit of a mess.
Yeah, but other than that, like, yeah, that's really the big problem I have with the film. Like, I thought everything else worked pretty well.
Yeah, I thought everything else went horribly, except for the fight scenes and the sound design, which was top. But I don't really have much else to say about this film. I've ranted. My energy's gone. I have no energy juice. So unless you want to bring something up, I'm done.
Well, I do want to bring up that you said that the fight scenes were the best thing, and I think they were kind of the least structured things of them. They looked cool, and they were really, you know, I believe that... Jakey G was a fucking fighter. Apparently he went through like some crazy training to become like, you know, get that body. And
well,
get,
he fights well in the film.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere that some boxing trainer, it might have been the guy who trained him, was like, you know, it takes boxers years to become as good a fighter as what Jake became in this. Like he could actually be a boxer now. So that's really interesting.
That's crazy.
All right, well, wrap this up for us.
It was a piece of shit. I didn't like it very much, to be honest. I thought the fight scene, sound design was good, and Jake Gyllenhaal's performance just killed it. Just slayed it. Slay, another day, another slay. But the script has to be just some of the worst writing ever. Very much like The Equalizer, actually. Like, I'm pretty sure if we went back and listened to what I said about The Equalizer, it's probably very similar about the film trying too hard. Actually, pretty sure I said exactly that about The Equalizer, is that I thought the film tried way too hard and never paid off. And this does the same fucking thing. It's so pretentious and arrogant, even though David disagrees. And it's just so full of shit, and the dialogue's so on the nose, and it just, it's just fucking silly. I know exactly what sort of film it's trying to be, and you can't do it. It's just... so wanky. Anyway, 2 out of 5.
Well, I feel bad for you, man, because fuck, I had them feels this whole movie. Fuck, I felt everything. I felt so bad for this character. I wanted his daughter back. I understood everything when, you know, the daughter was hating on him. I understood, like, oh my God, I wish you could feel the way that I felt watching this movie, because we've obviously watched two very different things in two different places. It might have been because I had a free ticket and was in the Gold Class eating a fucking Malteser Sunday. But I, yeah, man, I really, really, really liked this film. I think the script, like, although there are those cliches in there, I don't think they were a problem for me. I don't believe anything was really on the nose. Maybe going back and watching it with that in mind, I might be able to see it, but I was able to just go with it. I was able to flow with it all, and I think it all banks on just how good Jake Gyllenhaal portrays the character, because I was just with him the whole way. And it's funny that you were saying he's a douche, because I never really saw him as a douche. He just always never really had, you know, he always kind of just did what people told him to do. And then when it came to him fucking having to you make his own decisions. That's what the movie's about, is him trying to find himself in the way that he has to look after himself for a change. I liked that. I liked the spiral. I hated everybody who went against him. Them feels, man. Fucking hell. I was like goosebumps through the film. Definitely not arrogant at all. I think it's a fucking beautiful film that tells a really great story about a great character. There are definitely flaws, and it mostly comes down to the boxing and the antagonists. Nobody's really explored there, which is unfortunate. You were saying that you can tell what this film is trying to be. It's trying to be that movie that people say it's one of the best films I've seen this year. This is one of the best films I've seen this year. I fucking love this film. 4 out of 5.
Oh my God. Threw up in my mouth a little bit when you said that.
Yeah, you're an idiot, so it's fine.
No, I'm fucking not. It's fucking shit.
Nope. No, not at all. I feel bad for you, man. But it's
don't fucking say you feel bad for me.
I do. I always feel bad for you when this sort of thing comes down. I could understand Fantastic Four. I can't understand this. This is a great movie. Okay, but Connor McDuff. 2 weeks is our 52nd episode, which means we've been doing this for a year.
Yeah.
So let's do something a little special. What do you say?
I think it sounds good.
I was thinking we could go back over, we could do like a bit of a recap, a bit of a year recap, what we've been, you know, what we've reviewed fucking 52 movies up, we will have at that point. And I was thinking we could go back, talk about the worst movies, talk about the best movies, talk about things that stood out. Yeah, just go back over everything that's happened the last year and, you know.
That sounds great.
Yeah. And our 52nd episode, we will be reviewing Straight Outta Compton.
Wait, are we reviewing that for our next episode?
No, that's 52. So that's in 2 weeks.
Okay, cool.
So that's a pretty cool movie to end on, I
think. Crazy motherfucking name, Ice Cube!
End the year on. Yeah. So that'll be number 52. For next week, there's a film called The Gift coming out, which is... what's his name? The Australian actor.
Oh, Jason Bateman. Is that it?
Yeah, Jason Bateman's in it, and it's...
Fuck! It looks terrifying.
I actually haven't seen anything about it, and I kind of want to keep it that way. I know it's a thriller. It's got a few twists, what I've heard. What's the guy's name? Oh my God, what's his name? I'm just going to look it up quickly. He's an Australian dude. He actually directed, wrote it, and he's acting in it. Joel Edgerton. Joel Edgerton, Australia, Aussie fella.
Yeah,
apparently he wrote, directed, and yeah, so it's got a pretty sick cast going on. Jason Bateman doing something a little different. We'll check that one out next week.
Yes, we will.
Until then, we do have 50 episodes banked up, so get back onto our fucking Podbean site, podbean.com, search Fishing Connoisseur Movie, you can find all our episodes there, or they're all on iTunes, or on our Facebook page. Please get on there, share that shit, get this around.
Yep, it's what he said, exactly that. Fuck Southpaw, play the music, Fish. Phenomena!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fishing Connoisseur Movie. Fishing Connoisseur Movie does not own any rights to the film Southpaw, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track Phenomenal is performed by Eminem, and the track Cry for Love Part 1 is performed by James Horner. Cause I stuck it out, like a motherfucking tongue that's out, I responded when I got shoved around. You're gonna have down believers, but when you're beyond belief, you probably shouldn't wonder how. Get it how you live, but are you prepared to give more than you get? And put in twice what you get back from the shit, though what you sacrifice barely is half, never give. Rap is my shift, but it's like my shield, at the same time I wield, and my knife is will. Sometimes I feel just like Be Real from Cypress Hill, how I could just kill a cypher, survivor's guilt, I rhyme like life is...